I'd like to invite Miriam to come and do Advent. Did I need to read the bulletin?
Perhaps.
Oh, sorry, everybody.
We're good.
Painted warrior.
Yeah.
shield and a painted warrior. Pretty cool. Anyways, when we named our daughters, Becky and I didn't really want to name them just any name. We wanted it to actually mean something. And so Becky's maiden name was Olive. And we thought, well, a derivative of Olive, you know, what if we did Olivia? And then I did a little research around the name Olive and Olivia. And the root word of Olivia is olive. And in a biblical sense, you get, in a biblical sense, you'll read about olives and olive oil all through the Bible, but what oil represents in the Bible is something really great. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, I want my daughter Olivia to be marked by the Holy Spirit. So every time I say Olivia, it's going to represent a marking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself. I want that for my daughter. So we named her Olivia. And then Becky was pregnant with our second daughter, Gwen. And again, we didn't want to name our next daughter just anything. And so we came across a few names that we really liked, and Gweneth came out. And so I looked up the meaning of Gweneth, and it means blessed of God or holy. What else does it mean? I should know this. Yeah, holy, blessed of God and holy. And I thought that was pretty cool too, pretty good too. Blessed of God, who doesn't want to be blessed of God? So every time we say Gweneth, we're declaring over her that she is blessed of God. And so names actually mean something. And in the Hebrew, or in the Bible, you know, you read the Old Testament written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew people, they thought names were pretty important too. They weren't willy-nilly with their naming of individuals. When they named people, it meant something, and it was important. Commentator Ronald Youngblood said, in the ancient world, a name was not merely a label, but it was virtually equivalent to whoever or whatever bore it. It was their identity. It was their reputation, their character, authority, and power. In the Old Testament, it is often found in parallelism with remembrance or fame. The name of God was equivalent to the being of God, His identity. So names were incredibly important because that person would embody the meaning of that name. And so in the Bible, we read many names about who God is. We see His name is Lord, Master, Beginning, and End. We call God Beginning and End because He has no beginning and He has no end. We call Him Father, the Creator, Shepherd, the Word, Anointed One. And these are all names of God because He embodies these things. He is these things. And so as we journey towards Christmas, as we come with expectancy of the arrival of Jesus, I want to look at one of the scriptures that points to the name of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. You guys will probably know this verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'm getting all my papers mixed up here.
And also, names can be limiting now.
Limiting, yeah. Yeah, they can. That's why it's important. So, Isaiah 9, verse 6 says this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so Isaiah is writing his book. He's writing down these prophecies about the coming Messiah. And he's declaring prophetically that this child who will come will be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this morning I want to look at what it means that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. I think we live in a world today where we need a wonderful counselor. Yes.
Would it be a great idea to think of, like, maybe we could, like, I don't know, talk about the actual direct words of Jesus from the four main gospels that contain Jesus' direct quotes?
Yes, we could, but not today.
Then when?
We'll see. Another week, maybe. Maybe next week. We'll see. But today we're going to look at what God wrote in the Word. So these are actually the words of God. From an Old Testament prophet who is pointing towards Jesus. And it's talking about Jesus, the wonderful counselor.
Right, but like
thank you, Tristan.
Why not just like talk about the actual direct quotes?
Yes.
Tristan.
We will in a couple weeks.
Tristan.
Alright, so the wonderful counselor. This child to be born was Jesus, was going to be Jesus, a divine gift of mercy and grace to a people that have completely rejected God. And he would be a gift of a wonderful counselor. And so when speaking of a counselor is one who's able to make wise plans or have wisdom for life. So this could be, you know, a king might have a counselor to give him wisdom on decisions that he needs to make. A president's right-hand man. One might think of a consultant or of sorts. And so this week, as I was looking at the wisdom of this world, I did a quick Google search. And the number one thing that came up as a wise leader was the Dalai Lama, who would be the leader of the Buddhist religion. Anyone heard of the Dalai Lama? Dalai Lama? Yeah. So the wisest, the foremost wise person in the world, the one who can give the most wisdom in our world today, would be known as the Dalai Lama. That's quite unfortunate. Because we know that the wisest counselor is Jesus himself. Another one might say that the wisest person on our planet today is the Pope. Maybe not, probably not. But these were in the list that I found online. And Isaiah says that the one coming, the one who is to come, Jesus, the Messiah, he will be the wonderful counselor, meaning the one who is to come actually embodies wisdom itself. He is wisdom. The wisest plan that the Father, Son, and the Spirit ever devised, the wisest wisdom they have ever given, was that the Son would come to earth and give his life on a cross to save the world for their sin. Wisdom, if you look at a dictionary, wisdom would say the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. This is what wisdom is. Isaiah 11:2 says this about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah describes him not only as the counselor, but the wonderful counselor. If you look up this word wonderful in the Hebrew language, it's this word called pele. I'm probably botching up that pronunciation of Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, or I don't speak Hebrew, but it's this word pele. And this word pele means miracle, astounding, a wonder, extremely good, marvelous, magnificent, and glorious, beyond understanding, incomprehensible. And so what Isaiah is saying here about Jesus, the one who will be a wise counselor, he will have wonderful counsel. He will have miraculous counsel. He will have astounding counsel. Counsel that is so wise, it is incomprehensible. I think that's pretty great. The wonderful, this word wonderful has connotations of a deity, that it's godlike. This counsel is godlike. It's not just any earthly wisdom. I think a lot of us have been given a lot of earthly wisdom, and it's gotten us into some pretty screwy situations. But we have one who has God wisdom. Wisdom that is otherworldly. Jesus doesn't offer just any wisdom. This word counselor means to give advice or give counsel. So David, the psalmist David in Psalm 16:7 says, "I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel, and at night also my heart instructs me." There's a Puritan pastor, his name is George Swinnick, and he has got this little book, and it's called The Incomparableness of God. If you ever get a hold of this little book called The Incomparableness of God, I would highly recommend it. But in it, he talks about the wisdom of God, and he says this about the wisdom of God. "In God there is plenty of it," he's referring to wisdom. "A treasure speaks of abundance, but treasures speak of superabundance. In God are all the treasures, all kinds, all sorts of wisdom. In him is manifold wisdom." Manifold wisdom. God has plenty to say, or sorry, Job has plenty to say about wisdom in the book of Job. If you turn to Job 12:13, Job says, "With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding." Essentially, Job is saying that God is the owner of wisdom. He is the owner of wisdom. And what the world thinks wisdom is actually foolishness to God. All the wisdom of this world is actually foolishness to God. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the one with divine wisdom. Job 21:22 says, "Who shall teach God anything?" Can you imagine trying to teach God something? We're being instructed by our society all the time. There's messages coming at us through the news, through the TV, through social media. According to a study by Yankelovich Incorporated in 2007, it said that there were 5,000, a person would see 5,000 ads every single day. That's a lot of ads. The problem with that is the study was done in 2007. We're living in 2023, and there's a lot more access to ads nowadays. And so we're seeing a ton of, we're getting a ton of voices coming at us all the time. The TV, the news, the politicians, social media, Twitter, TikTok, all these different social media platforms. One day I had the TV turned on, I don't know why, and I was just flicking through the channels, and I came across, I can't even remember what the show's called, but it's the equivalent of, it's the Canadian version of the show The View. I don't know if you guys know The View, but, and so for whatever reason I watched for like 2 minutes. And in those 2 minutes, my mouth literally hit the floor. My jaw hit the floor. I was like, are people actually listening to this stuff? Like, these are just people, like, they have no reason to be giving out wisdom or counsel, but they are. And it's astounding the things that are coming out of their mouths. The wisdom of this day says, you choose who you are. The wisdom of this day says, make yourself happy. Your truth is your truth. The wisdom of the day says, you deserve better than this. The wisdom of this day says, you do you. And everyone is spewing wisdom from above, right? They got it. Just do it. Buy my product. You'll be happy. Accumulate more and you'll feel great. Marry the right person. Get the perfect education. You'll be happy and successful when you get the perfect education or the right job or you marry the right person or you buy the best house or put your hope in your dreams. Put your hope in your bank account or in the next iPhone that's coming out. These are the things of the world, the wisdom of this world, the counsel of this world that is coming at us all the time. And unfortunately, a lot of us probably take a lot of this counsel to heart. And we use that counsel in our lives, and it wreaks havoc. It wreaks havoc in our lives. Our world is shaking, and no one really knows what to do. I think people are maybe starting to wake up to the idea that we're not getting much better than what we've tried to do over the years. But Jesus is the wise counselor. His wisdom is out of this world. While living in, this last fall we moved to Calgary, but while we've been living in Cochrane, Alberta for the last 5 years, and while we were there we got to know some friends quite well, our neighbors actually. And Becky was over there with the girls one day, just hanging out in the backyard on the deck. And Becky and our neighbor got talking about just finances and how things are really tough and job situations. And our neighbor was just expressing to Becky how her husband had a job change, a role change at his work, and the hours were a lot better, but the pay wasn't as good. And so it was making things really, really tight every month. And I'm so proud of Becky. She just looked at her and started pushing her towards Jesus and just encouraged her to take this situation and bring it to Jesus and ask him to speak into this situation and ask him for wise counsel, because he is the wonderful counselor. You know, the world would say, oh, you're tight financially. Well, you need to get a second job. You need to get a third job. You need to do this, or you need to do that better, you know. And Jesus knows our situations perfectly. He knows exactly where, you know, maybe we can get creative with this over here, or he can open up doors that will give us the greatest counsel for what we need. Jesus actually has solutions to earthly problems. Jesus has divine solutions of heaven for our earthly problems. And he's waiting for us to bring our problems to him so that he can give us divine counsel. Wise counsel. He knows how to navigate job loss. He knows how to raise children. He knows that we're trying to figure out our lives. Should I go to school? Should I go to this university? Should I take that job? He knows that, you know, one day some of us may want to get married. He knows those desires of our hearts. And he knows what to look for in a future husband or wife. This Christmas, Jesus knows the dynamics of our family situations. He knows as we get together with family, there might be some tensions. There might be forgiveness that needs to take place. Maybe someone's holding bitterness in a family situation. He knows all these details, and he desires to give wise counsel into your situation. A couple minutes ago, I gave some examples of worldly wisdom. And I want to give you some divine wisdom from the Word of God. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Can you believe that? We have an incredible amount of situations that are completely out of our control, that we have no idea what the future holds, what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea. Yet James says, do you need wisdom? And if you lack wisdom, just ask the Lord. Ask Jesus for wisdom, and he will give it. It says he doesn't find, he says he gives generously to all without finding fault. Meaning, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you, regardless of who you are. That's what this says. And it will be given to him. Psalm 1:1-4. This is more wisdom from the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So do you want to be a blessed individual? Meditate on the law day and night, on the law of the Lord. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." That is wisdom of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." That is wisdom. That's not earthly wisdom. That is wisdom from the Scripture. 1 John 4:1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Okay, here's some more wisdom. Not everything is from God. We must test the spirits. Another one. Luke 6:27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." Ooh, that's difficult wisdom. That's good wisdom, but difficult wisdom. Love your enemies? Yes. Do good to those who hate you. I'm reminded of John 10:1-5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, the man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I wonder this morning if you are listening to the voice of the wise counselor. Are your ears open to the wisdom of heaven? to the divine wisdom that comes from the throne of God. Jesus can be trusted like a good shepherd in the wisdom and counsel that he has. He can be trusted as he leads you and guides you. He is the good shepherd. And so today, I want to invite you into a relationship with the divine counselor, the wise counselor, the one who can be trusted in all his ways. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are the wonderful counselor. You are our wonderful counselor. And the wisdom that you have is divine, for you are divine. And we praise you, Jesus, that we can trust your wisdom. We can trust your wonderful counsel, your magnificent counsel. And God, we invite you today into our lives, and we invite your wisdom, your counsel, your guidance, and your leadership, and we submit to you. And Jesus, I just want to pray over all of us here today that as we go, well, we're in this Christmas season, and we're there's a hustle and bustle, and there's family gatherings, and there's Christmas parties, and there's relationships that have tensions in them. And as we interact with one another, and as we interact with our families, God, I ask that you would bring divine wisdom to us. And some of us are dealing with problems in our work. There are issues that need to be figured out. And Jesus, we ask for divine wisdom. Your word says, whoever lacks wisdom should ask. And so we ask today, Lord, for wisdom from heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that is it. Unless we have another worship song to close? No, that's it? Okay. Downstairs. Oh, yeah, the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Yes.